Here's breast cancer survivor Margaret Ashmore with one of the ways she's learned to pray.
Whatever you want to do to give me an eternal weight of glory, you bring it on. If it's a loss of a job, if it's breast cancer whereby it comes back and it takes me, you bring it on. Because this little tiny amount of time that we spend down here is a testing ground for heaven.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, October 20th. What's the most difficult thing you have to endure? It might be a tough job, or a difficult marriage, or physical pain. Well, Margaret Ashmore has learned a lot about endurance during her struggle with breast cancer. She's been talking with Nancy this week. Today, they'll be joined by Holly Eliff and Kim Wagner, a couple of pastors' wives who have counseled a lot of women during difficult times. Here's Margaret Ashmore to start the conversation.
Some years ago, my father, who is a widower, was chasing his dogs because they had gone into the woods. And he lives way, way out into the country. And when it's dark out in an East Texas country town, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And it was a moonless night, just pitch black. And one of his dogs went after a varmint or something in the woods. And he went out after the dog to find him. Well, he got turned around out in the woods. He couldn't find his way. And this is what my dad did, and I'll never forget this, he, recounting the story. He just got hopelessly lost. He couldn't see a thing. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit down. Because he knew that if he started thrashing around, and he'd go deeper into the woods, fall into a gully, get into all kinds of trouble. So he just sat. And I said, well, Dad, why did you just sit? And he said, Margaret, because I knew one thing. I knew the sun was going to come up in the morning. Mm. And indeed, the sun came out and came up by his grace, healing in his wings. I also think very often of every time you see God rescuing Israel. In the 14th chapter of Exodus, when did God rescue Israel from Pharaoh's army? It was on the fourth watch. When did Jesus rescue the disciples as they were crying out in phobos, fear, when they were in the storm in the boat? It was on the fourth watch.
Which is what time?
Fourth watch. The Romans divided the day into four watches. And the fourth watch was from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 in the morning. 3 in the morning is when it's the darkest. But just as the dawn breaks, you can see that God has indeed showed up. And so I remember thinking, you know, Lord, this is the fourth watch. This is dark, but I know you're going to show up. I know you're going to deliver me. Now, I never had illusions that God was going to promise to heal me physically. And I tell women all the time who have breast cancer, who are battling with diseases, God is going to heal us. And it may be in this world, and it may be in the next. So I knew he was going to heal me. I knew that the sun was going to come up. And so what helped me endure was the promise of God that he's a faithful God, that he's a covenant-keeping God, and that no matter how dark it was, I was going to sit still and I was going to wait on God. By virtue of that, I think that got me through many a dark night.
So when Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:18, with great assurance to Timothy, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his eternal kingdom, he's not necessarily saying or anticipating that he's going to be released from that Roman prison.
Yes.
That Roman dungeon.
Right.
And when you had this knowledge, this confidence that the Lord was going to deliver you, that the Lord was going to rescue you, that the sun would rise, that didn't mean that you were going necessarily to survive physically the breast cancer.
Right. But as a matter of fact, I was given a 3% chance of living. And those aren't good odds in terms of the world standards. But I knew that if God delivered me by virtue of bringing me to heaven, that I would be totally healed, that God would use perhaps my death to bring many to come to know him. I mean, I never really thought in terms of the fact that God would heal me physically. I just knew that God was going to be faithful to me no matter what.
And did your faith ever, through that process, did your faith ever waver in God's faithfulness?
Yes. I'm by no means the poster child on endurance. As a matter of fact, what I learned, and this helped me a lot, is that God does not condemn the sensation or emotion of fear. It's the idea of being paralyzed by it. And let me give you an example. When I would go to my doctor's appointments to see my surgeon and to hear whether or not my cancer had come back and whether or not I was literally going to live or die, I told people it's compared to the fact that you are facing a firing squad and you get a reprieve. And so it's that feeling of not knowing if you're going to get a death sentence or not. My heart was beating. My face was flushed. I mean, I was an absolute wreck. My mouth was dry. I was so scared. But the fact of the matter is I wasn't going to let it paralyze me. The reason why a lot of women die of breast cancer is because they let fear paralyze them. They don't go see their doctor. They don't find out what's wrong. They don't know what treatment they need to take. So I thought, you know, it's not a problem of being afraid, because I was. It's not letting the fear control you, but just giving that fear to God and to put one foot in front of the other, even when you're afraid, I think is what helps us overcome fear.
And the requirement for endurance isn't just when you're facing breast cancer.
Right.
They're for all of us as women who are seeking to love the Lord and to fulfill His mission for us in this season of life. Some of you women are mothers. Margaret and I are single women. There's a need for endurance. I almost wonder sometimes if in the crises, the adrenaline doesn't kick in and, you know, a major death or a major blow of some sort and everybody's rallying to support. And sometimes I have found it easier to endure the crises than the long, slow, never-ending challenges of more everyday life and my calling or your calling in life. Do any of you relate to that?
I heard a great quote one time that says, what you are becoming while you're waiting is infinitely more important than getting there.
And I say that again.
What you are becoming while you're waiting is infinitely more important than getting there. And it's the whole idea, and it's a threadbare illustration, but one that works, and that is, where do we get diamonds? We get diamonds from the coal that has been deep in the recesses of the earth. It's been under pressure. It's been out of sight, out of mind, forgotten. And then one day it's mined and we sell it for millions of dollars. I think that we just gain a greater value in life when through those hard days, when there's no sign of God showing up, when there's pressures from all around, that we just abide. As a matter of fact, the word persevere, I mean, it's the Greek word hupomeno, I think that's what it is, which means to abide under pressure. And this is kind of...
And to abide meaning to stay there,
to stay
under
there.
It.
Yeah, not to, you know, thrash around, so to speak, but to stay because you know God is faithful, you know He's going to show up. And this is one of my hot buttons, because I think the non-Christian today is groping in the dark looking for someone who looks like Christ, who is a Christian with their light turned on. And one of the reasons we don't have that is because Christians don't endure. They don't persevere. They keep getting out from under the things that God is trying to use to change them. I think of, and I know I use this a lot, but I think it's my life text in Daniel 3 of the three Hebrews. And they were thrown into this cauldron of fire. And the Bible is very clear to tell us four times prior to their being thrown in that they were tied up and bound. And what I just think is the most remarkable thing is that here they are thrown into this fiery furnace, heated so hot, seven times hotter than anyone else's, because that's what God does to purify His people. Heated so hot that it slew the people that threw them in. Here they are in the midst of this. We know they're walking with the pre-incarnate Christ. And when they come out on the other side, you could not tell that there was any evidence they'd been in a fire. The only thing that burned were the bonds that held them. And I think that Christians aren't free today because they don't abide, they don't stand still, they try to find a way out from under the pressure or to get out from the fires. And if we will just endure our fires, if we will say, okay, I'm in a difficult marriage, but I'm going to stay in this marriage. I'm in a difficult job, I'm going to stay in this job. I've got problems with my friend. I'm going to stick with this friend. If we do that, we will see freedom come in our lives, and the non-Christian will see what a real Christian looks like. So, you know, I take it quite personal that Christians aren't persevering and enduring because the world looks at us and sees no difference than anyone else.
Okay, what's the difference between persevering and enduring and just being passive and que sera, sera, fatalistic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing I can do about this, so I'm just going to grin and bear it.
Well, that's a great question. First thing I think of is 1 Peter chapter 2, 23, when it speaks of our Lord. When he was reviled, he reviled not. And when he was threatened, he uttered no threats. Now, at that point, you think he's passive. But right after that, it says, and he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. And so he was not passive. As a matter of fact, he was very proactive in saying, Father, you handle this. You're God. You're sovereign. You're in control. I'm going to take everything levied at me. I'm going to deflect it to you. And I'm going to watch you get the glory. I'm going to watch you turn things around. I'm going to watch you bring healing while I abide. So I don't think that there was any passivity to that at all. I think it was very proactive in giving that to God in trust.
And actively waiting on the Lord, in a sense, if I could say it without being irreverent at all, partnering with God in his redemptive purposes for the world. And you think about the wife in that difficult marriage, not just rolling over and dying and say, look, I'm doomed to live with this forever, so I'm just going to endure and hang on till the rapture.
Yes.
But saying, by my entrusting myself to God in this situation, by my not reviling, not retaliating, I am having the privilege of representing Christ in this home,
Amen.
Of extending the redemptive heart and hand of God to this mate or to this child or this whoever person. And so really becoming an instrument of God's redemption in the lives of others.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned about the wives. In that great passage on Christ not reviling and not threatening, but commending himself to the one who judges righteously, right after that, we see that great passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, you wives. So in a sense, God is saying in the same way that I did not revile, that I did not try to get a pound of flesh when I was wounded, that I did not try to get back at anyone, I gave it to my Heavenly Father. In the same way, wives are to take all those things levied against them from their husbands, deflect them to God, and watch God change the heart of their husband.
Margaret, I'm just thinking about women that I know that are in really tough relationships.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking back over what I know of your life in the last couple of years. How did you get in a position where you learned how to trust God so that you could endure without bitterness or anger that maybe would give hope to some woman out there who doesn't know how to do that and says, I think I'm going to die here. Maybe not physically, but I don't think I can keep doing this.
Yes. Well, I talked to a woman today who said with tears in her eyes, it is so hard to keep hanging on. This is a woman who loves the Lord, a woman who's trusting the Lord, a woman who is committed to represent Christ in her home. But she's dealing with a very godless man, and she said it's just so hard to keep hanging in there, to keep enduring. There are days when I just think, when and how can I get ever some relief?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that woman find hope?
I mean, just practically, the living out of that day to day. I'm just thinking there are probably some tools that God taught you in those years of struggle that now you, as 2 Timothy talks about, entrusting that truth to others so that it can be taught to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that God taught you in that process about the actual doing of endurance?
Well, Holly, that's a great question. And I think the first thing that comes to my mind, of course, is just the Word of God, which is what we hang on to in the dark. I would even like to interject at this point that all the great writers of old, the Puritans, St. John of the Cross, wrote that every Christian has to go through what is called the dark night of the soul. And I think God takes us through dark nights to strip us of everything that is not Him. As a matter of fact, we read in the Gospels, do we not, where it says that many of the disciples withdrew from Jesus and were not walking with Him anymore. And you can just see Peter kind of ambling up to Him, and Jesus looks at him and says, well, are you going to leave me too? And what Peter said, I think, changed my life in regard to the idea of endurance, and that is, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Where else would I go? Well, I have to tell you, I tried everything else. I tried psychotherapy. I tried, doing the different things the world says are going to do to lift you out of yourself. But all we have to hold on in the dark is the Word of God. And the words that meant the most to me and the idea of endurance, some practical things to think of, is that great text in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. You spoke of women, Holly, who might lose heart. And 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says this, that we're not to lose heart. Momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things that we can see, but at the things that we can't see. For the things that we can see are temporal. The things that we cannot see are eternal. And this is what I tell women to encourage them that are in difficult straits. I've certainly been encouraged in my own heart by it. And that is that the worst thing that can happen to me on this earth, if I endure it, if I stay faithful, if I'm not like Ephraim, you know, remember Jesus said, you're like the dew. When it's nice and cool in the morning, you're there. But when the sun comes up, you're gone. If I can endure, then when I get to heaven, the worst weight of difficulty and trial is going to go up in the scales like a feather. And the weight of glory is going to come crashing down. And I'm going to realize that everything that God allowed in my life, because He is sovereign, He is in control, everything He allowed that seemed so difficult is going to produce an eternal weight of glory. I tell women, listen, there is a Bema seat. There is a judgment seat of Christ whereby we will stand and say, Lord, I endured. In Hebrews 10:36, we read that we're to endure so that we'll not lose our reward. I just try to tell women in a very real sense, don't just look at this world. There is a world to come. This world is a drop in the bucket. And if you and I can say, Lord, whatever you want to do to give me an eternal weight of glory, you bring it on. If it's a loss of a job, if it's breast cancer whereby it comes back and it takes me, you bring it on, because this little tiny amount of time that we spend down here is a testing ground for heaven. And we've become so inured by the world that all we think about is the time here. But there is a much better world to come. And so I tell women, listen, you and Nancy, I read this in your book, Lies Women Believe, which is my great reference book as I travel. And our suffering may endure for weeks or years, but it won't endure forever. And God won't let it go 1 minute beyond what His purposes dictate. And so I don't try to tell anyone anything they can do necessarily to release themselves from pain today, but to endure it, to go through it, and to know that it's all going to come due in heaven.
And Margaret, that's what I call looking with eternal eyes,
yes,
having an eternal perspective and viewpoint. And it's something that you have to train yourself to do. It's like a spiritual exercise to train yourself that in this moment I will worship. In this moment I will not keep my focus on the husband that is being cruel or rejecting me or the divorce that he's threatening. I will not focus on that.
Right.
But just as you referred to in 1 Peter 3, when he said, in this same way, you wives surrender or submit, in this same way, he's referring back to the cross.
Yes.
And that is really the key, to focus on the cross, on what Christ did for me, and to focus on the eternal reality,
yes,
of walking through this difficulty, worshiping Him in this lifetime.
Yes.
And it's not just having that eternal perspective, but also realizing that God has called me to endure for this day.
Right.
And so many times it's so hard for women to think, I can't do this for another year. I can't live this way for 5 more years. What if He's still like this in 6 months or 6 years?
And that's what can really wear you down.
And
is
they get so weary because, yeah, it seems like there is no end in sight.
And that's
and
when
I
we
love
need to
encourage
them.
yes, you have eternal perspective, but then you pull that back down to what God requires of me today, which is to meet Him, to receive what I need from His hand, and then to trust Him. I love what 2 Timothy says in chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him until that day." So yes, that day is coming and there will be an eternity, but until that day, then I am also responsible every day to trust Him with my life.
I think we all want to make it clear that abuse, if it's coming from a husband or from any other source, if there's the law being broken, God's law being broken, we're not saying just sit by and let that happen. God has made provision through the human government, through the civil government and the law, through the church government, church leadership, to deal with these issues. And I think all of us would encourage women, you do need to take advantage of the means that God has provided for you to deal with that.
Yes. I always tell women, this is in the normal context of difficulties in a marriage. But if there's lives being threatened, if the children are being threatened, if there's something immoral or illegal going on in the home, then that's when we do seek the civil authorities that God has placed us under to protect us. So that's just wisdom. That's just wisdom.
And hopefully they're in a godly church home that they can go to their elders or to their pastor first, and unless it is illegal, and then
yes,
and but deal with that and then go to the civil authorities.
That's Kim Wagner talking about endurance with Margaret Ashmore, Holly Eliff, and Nancy Lee DeMoss. If their words have helped you today, I hope you'll get a copy of the whole conversation. We didn't have time to air everything because of time restraints, but you can order the entire interview on CD as part of the series called Surviving and Thriving Through Suffering. You can order by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Nancy?
I love the way that God knows just how to connect the message of Revive Our Hearts with the exact women who need to hear it just when they need to hear it. A woman wrote recently with what I thought was such a sweet example. She'd been suffering from depression, was at the place where she didn't even want to get out of bed, and didn't feel like she had anyone that she could talk with. So she told the Lord, "If only you could physically sit on this chair next to me so I could have a literal conversation with you. I want to actually hear your voice." Well, not long thereafter, she pulled up that day's Revive Our Hearts program online. The Word of God that was spoken on that day's program was exactly what she needed to hear. She realized that God had answered her prayer and was speaking to her through His Word. She writes, "I can't stop crying because that means God really does care about me." Well, I'm so thankful that the Lord allows us to speak to women right where they are. I'm also thankful for those listeners who support Revive Our Hearts financially so that we can be ministering to women like this woman who was so depressed that she could hardly get out of bed and really needed to hear from God. These listeners who support the ministry allow us to stay on the radio so that the Lord can connect us with women who need to hear His Word. If you appreciate this ministry and you want to see it keep reaching out into the hearts and the needs, the homes, the marriages, the lives of women in this country and around the world, would you consider supporting Revive Our Hearts? Your gift at this time would be such a blessing. And just remember, when you send a gift of any amount this month, we're sending you a copy of the 2012 Revive Our Hearts Wall Calendar called Seeking Him Together.
And here's the number, 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or donate online at reviveourhearts.com. Well, maybe through God's grace, you can endure difficulty for a day or a week, but what if you're called to endure for years or a lifetime? Think it through with us tomorrow when the conversation continues. I hope you can be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.